Hello, I'm R.A. Spratt. I write and perform this podcast. If you'd like to support the show, I'm a children's author, so you can buy a book by me, or you can buy me a coffee by going to buymeacoffee.com/storiesrasspratt. It's an easy way to make a small thank you gift to the show so I can keep kicking this can down the road. The podcast directory you're using right now should have a link to my Buy Me a Coffee page in the show notes, or you can type it into your browser. That's buymeacoffee.com/storiesrasspratt. All contributions are gratefully appreciated. Hello and welcome to Bedtime Stories with me, R.A. Spratt. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, it's a drizzly grey day here in Barrel. It is cold. The weather is getting cold, but it's still beautiful. I love all the weather here. The trees are turning, so it's all very nice. What's been going on in my world? Well, the merchandise is all on sale now, and that's been going well. It's been really sweet because when I set up the merchandise, you know, I was sort of imagining I wanted a t-shirt shop, and I was thinking, oh yeah, I'll get a design, and it'll look great on a black t-shirt. It'll be awesome. But with the shop I've set it up with, you can pick the color of shirt, and you can also pick whether you have a t-shirt or a sweater or a hoodie. And so everyone's been picking all different colors and different types of clothing, and it's been really sweet to see, you know, people getting red sweaters with the logo and blue hoodies and things like that. So, of course, because you're kids and you like bright colors, and also it's coming into winter here in Australia, so people are feeling the cold. So it's been really sweet seeing the things that you all buy, because I get an email every time someone buys something to see what you've chosen. Anyway, enough of that. Let's just get into today's story. I've been promising a new Greek myth for some time, and finally it's going to happen. So we're going to be doing the story of Hermes. Let's get into it. Here we go. The story of Hermes, as told by Nanny Piggins. When Derek, Samantha and Michael came home from school, they were met at the door by a very agitated Nanny Piggins.
Children, we have to postpone the rocket launch.
Earlier in the week, Nanny Piggins' mail order kit had arrived. She thought blasting things in the sky was a much better way to learn about physics than anything they did in a science lesson at school.
Has something gone wrong? Asked Derek.
Did customs officials raid the house and confiscate the rockets? Asked Michael.
Customs officials had raided the house before when Walter, one of Nanny Piggins' friends from the circus, had tried to save his airline ticket by posting himself to Nanny Piggins in a box. The problem was Walter was a vampire bat, and customs officials are always funny about packages marked, handle with care, vampire bat inside.
Don't worry, the rockets are fine, said Nanny Piggins. We can save them for another day. No, a much more serious calamity has occurred. Your father has been sent home early from work.
For being naughty, guessed Derek.
Not for that, said Nanny Piggins, although I'm sure he was naughty. He was sent home because he sustained a head injury.
How? Asked Samantha. Doesn't father just sit at a desk looking for ways for his clients to avoid paying tax?
Yes, agreed Nanny Piggins, but he let one of his clients down.
What did he do? Asked Derek.
He told a very wealthy heiress she couldn't claim her handbag as a tax deduction, said Nanny Piggins.
Why did she think she could claim a handbag as a tax deduction? Asked Derek.
Well, apparently it was a $150,000 Hermes Birkin bag, which is an exclusive designer handbag that is so coveted, even rich people are forced to line up in the street outside the store to get one, even when there's bad weather. So she felt she should be able to claim it as a business investment, said Nanny Piggins.
How can a handbag be a business investment? Asked Samantha.
Well, normally it wouldn't be, said Nanny Piggins, but when your father said no, she couldn't claim it, the heiress got so angry she hit your father about the head with the Hermes handbag.
Wasn't that assault? Asked Samantha.
Yes, but any jury would let her off on the grounds that your father's personality was provocation, said Nanny Piggins. But the thing was, as soon as the heiress hit him with the Hermes handbag, then it did become deductible.
How? Asked Derek.
She could claim it as a motivational work tool, said Nanny Piggins.
She could, asked Derek. Yes, there's precedent, said Nanny Piggins. A farmer can claim the cattle prod he uses to motivate his cattle to move, so it follows that a wealthy heiress can claim the handbag she uses to motivate her lawyer.
Surely Father wasn't too badly hurt by a handbag, said Samantha.
Oh, well, it wasn't so much the handbag that caused the injury as what was in the handbag, said Nanny Piggins. You see, the last time your father met this heiress, he had advised her she could avoid paying tax by liquidating her assets and converting them into gold.
How do you liquidate an asset? Asked Michael.
I'm not sure, said Nanny Piggins. I presume it involves sticking them in a blender.
The children imagined a crazy rich lady shoving stock certificates in a blender and laughing maniacally. They were pretty sure this was not what was involved, but they didn't like to contradict their nanny, not when she was telling such an interesting story.
Anyway, as a result of his previous advice, the heiress was carrying a 5-kilogram brick of gold bullion in her handbag at the time, which is probably why she needed such a well-crafted, expensive handbag to support the weight. So really, the Hermes bag definitely should have been a tax deduction.
So is Father going to be okay? Asked Derek.
I doubt it, said Nanny Piggins. The head injury won't have fixed his fundamental flaws. The doctor said it just caused a concussion. Or brain damage. I wasn't really listening. One of those two things. Most likely both, in my opinion. But the long and the short of it is, your father needs to lie in a quiet, dark, handbag-free room for at least 24 hours.
So no rocket launch today, then, huh? Said Derek.
Indeed, said Nanny Piggins, which is devastating news. Boris is upset too.
Boris sobbed in agreement.
He'd been planning to have the ladies from his yoga class over to play bongos this afternoon. They're getting very good at playing Flight of the Valkyries on the bongo drums. Now they'll have to go down to the park instead, and it always scares the ducks.
I'm so confused, said Michael.
Why, dear, asked Nanny Piggins, what is it about your father being assaulted by one of his clients that's so difficult for you to understand?
Oh, I get that bit, said Michael. Father's clients often do get cross with him and lash out.
Oh, yeah, remember the time the elderly couple who lived two doors down tried to poison him with nut-laced food because they thought he had a food allergy, said Samantha.
Oh, yes, said Nanny Piggins, that was a wonderful dinner party. Such a shame they moved away.
What I don't understand is, persevered Michael, what is a Hermes handbag and how is it worth $150,000?
Ah, said Nanny Piggins, that is a good question.
The short answer is, it isn't, because it's not.
What do you mean? Asked Samantha.
A real Hermes bag is not a Birkin handbag, explained Nanny Piggins, because you see, Hermes, the original Hermes that the fashion brand of bags are named after, was a god from the ancient Greek story days.
Oh, no, said Michael.
From all the stories he'd been told, he knew things got even more complicated once the ancient Greek gods were involved. And Hermes, the god, did not have a handbag. He had a staff with snakes wound around it, and a hat with wings, and feet with wings too. And if the statues and urns from the ancient Greek story days are accurate, he didn't wear much else. The weather must have been very mild in ancient Greek for there to be that much nudity. But Hermes definitely had no handbag, although he did probably have a banjo case.
What? Said Derek.
Oh, yes, because Hermes, aside from being a Greek god, was also the inventor of the banjo, said Nanny Piggins.
Really? Said Samantha.
Oh, indeed, I know it to be true, said Nanny Piggins, because one of my distant relatives was there at the time.
Was she perhaps a distant cousin of yours called Hermes Piggins? Asked Michael.
Don't be ridiculous, said Nanny Piggins. Hermes was a god renowned for his mischief-making.
Well, a lot of your sisters are renowned for their mischief-making, Derek pointed out.
True, you do have a point there, agreed Nanny Piggins. But no, my relative was not Hermes. She was Hermes' nanny, Celine Piggins.
She was a nanny, exclaimed Samantha.
Oh, yes, I'm not the first nanny in the Piggins family, although I do like to think I am the best. You three children have always been delightfully behaved. Hermes, not so much so. And I'm sure his behaviour would have been better if Celine had fed him as much cake as I feed you. He certainly couldn't have run around as much. You'd better tell us the whole story, said Derek. All right, I will, said Nanny Piggins. It all began 3,000 years ago, back at the beginning of the ancient Greek story days. There'd been an enormous war between the Titans, you remember them, they were the horrible monsters, and the gods, who were all shiny and godlike. It was a really close fight, but ultimately the gods won. Afterwards, Zeus, the king of the gods, was rather tired from all the fighting, so he went on a little vacay in the countryside. That sounds nice, said Michael. Yes, he went to live in a cave in Arcadia, said Nanny Piggins. A cave, said Michael. Well, that's not so nice. Well, Zeus was a bit of an odd duck, agreed Nanny Piggins. He had planned to relax and unwind, but of course, being Zeus, he bumped into a beautiful star maiden called Maia. Typical Zeus, said Samantha. What's a star maiden? Asked Derek. I don't really know, admitted Nanny Piggins. I presume it's something like a wood nymph or a sea nymph. You know, an incredibly beautiful woman who's really nice and dances around and sings a lot. Except, being a star maiden, she can survive in the sub-zero temperatures and oxygen-free environment of space. Nice, said Michael. So, anyway, Maia had a baby and they called him Hermes.
Oh, I love babies, said Boris. They're so nice to hug.
Yes, agreed Nanny Piggins. Now, meanwhile, up on Mount Olympus, none of the other gods knew about this baby. They were just going about their daily ancient Greek god business. The first god to find out something strange was going on was Apollo. Now, Apollo was the god of truth, averting evil, archery, and the sun. Wow, that's a strange mix of things, said Samantha. Well, he was a complicated god, said Nanny Piggins. Anyway, one day Apollo got a message from Helios. Now, he was the Titan whose job it was to drive the sun through the sky every day on his chariot. How do you carry the sun in a chariot? Asked Michael. Using oven mitts, I should imagine, said Nanny Piggins, unless you want to get a burnt finger. Anyway, Apollo had asked Helios to keep an eye on his cows. Apollo had 50 cows, and he kept them down on Earth. And since Helios was up in the sky all day, flying across with the sun, Apollo knew he had the perfect view to keep an eye on the cows for him. But on this one day, when Helios rose up in the east, he couldn't see Apollo's cows anywhere. They were gone. So he called out to Apollo. Oi, Apollo, your cows have gone missing. Apollo was furious. To lose one cow is unfortunate, but to lose 50 cows, well, that's just plain ridiculous. He stormed out to Earth to investigate the matter. He stomped around Arcadia calling out for his cows. Bessie, Daisy, Lulu, where are you? You're making Daddy very worried. He named his cows, asked Derek. Of course, said Nanny Piggins. Otherwise, how would they know which one of them he was talking to? Anyway, while he was searching, Apollo bumped into a group of satyrs. What's a satyr? Asked Michael. They were people who had goat legs and horns, explained Nanny Piggins. You don't see satyrs much anymore. Well, not very often. There were more about in the 1800s, which is why so many men wore top hats. Satyrs were really quite silly, although self-aware enough to know they were silly, so they had the good sense to be terrified to meet the great god Apollo. Apollo demanded that the satyrs help him look for his cows, and they did as they were told. They all split up. The satyrs went one way, and Apollo went the other, and they searched. While this was happening, in a cave on the other side of Arcadia, my dear great-great-great times 891 greats cousin, Selene Piggins, was just about to put her feet up. Baby Hermes had been tinkering away all day inventing a new musical instrument, and now he was so tuckered out he was having a nap. Selene made herself a nice hot chocolate and cut herself a great big slab of marble cake, and she was just about to take her first bite when she heard a tremendous ruckus outside. And she was so worried about the baby being woken up that she put down the cake and went to investigate, guess Samantha? Oh, please, said Nanny Piggins. She shoved the whole slice of cake in her mouth, then went to investigate. When Selene opened the door, she was surprised to discover a bunch of satyrs fighting over who was going to press the doorbell. What's going on? Demanded Selene. The satyrs pushed their leader forward.
Hey, parents.
Yeah, you.
Are you looking for a podcast your kids will really love?
Well, we made one just for you.
And for us.
As genuine, all-natural kids ourselves, we know what makes a fun and interesting podcast.
So we decided to make it ourselves. Every show is packed with interviews, stories, and on-the-ground reporting.
We have interviewed everyone from scientists to Grammy Award-winning musicians to NFL quarterbacks.
Listen to Wild Interest wherever you get your podcasts.
"We have reason to believe there are two stolen cows in your cave," said the head satyr. "It's a cave," said Celine. "No one would let cows in a cave. They poop everywhere." "But there are footprints," said the satyr, pointing to hoof tracks on the ground. Celine looked at the ground. There were, indeed, hoof tracks, but they were facing away from the cave. "Those footprints are walking away," said Celine. "No," said the satyr, "because we have an eyewitness account. A local farmer saw a herd of 50 cows being led backwards by a baby." "A baby leading cows? That doesn't make sense. Apart from anything else, there are no baby footprints there," said Celine. "The same farmer also saw the baby craft special sandals out of reeds to hide his footprints," said the satyr. Celine stared at the satyrs. "You're saying some farmer saw a baby weave sandals, then drive 50 full-sized cattle backwards across the countryside, and you believe him?" "Yes, we just found the other 48 cows around the other side of the hill," said the satyr. "We think you've got the other two cows in your cave, so hand them over." "There are no cows in here," said Celine. "It's a cave. Cows don't live in caves." "But do you have a baby?" asked the satyr. "I'm not handing a baby over to you, you brain-addled nitwit," said Celine. "We've been sent by the great god Apollo," said the satyr. "He's ordered it that we shall retrieve the cows and the person who stole them." "Well, the baby I look after is the son of the even greater god Zeus," said Celine. At that moment, Apollo himself turned up.
"Have you found my cows then?" he demanded.
"Oh, yes, Mr. Apollo, your worship worthiness," said the satyr. "The baby in this cave stole them, but the lady won't bring him out because she says the baby is the son of Zeus." Now, Apollo was also the son of Zeus. He was the adult son, and he knew what his dad was like. The idea of Zeus having a baby and hiding it in a cave did not surprise him in the least. He realized this probably needed to be hushed up, so he gave the satyrs a slice of cake each as a reward and sent them on their way.
"Where is this baby?" asked Apollo.
"I am here, brother," said Hermes, as he daintily stepped out of the cave. Now, you got to imagine what this looks like. Hermes was only 6 days old.
"Oh, 6-day-old babies are so tiny and cute," said Boris.
"Yes, but Hermes could also walk and talk, and he glowed." "Like a light bulb?" asked Michael.
"Probably," said Nanny Piggins.
Now, we all know how annoying younger brothers can be.
"Hey," said Michael and Boris, protesting in unison.
"Not you two," said Nanny Piggins. "Obviously, you two are the exceptions to the rule. But in many cases, younger brothers are irksome. My own brother Bramwell is a classic example. And, as you can imagine, when there is a large age gap, the irksomeness is even more so. For a fully grown adult god like Apollo to have 50 of his cows stolen by his 6-day-old younger brother must have been irksomeness in the extreme. If my cousin Celine had not been there, Apollo would have given baby Hermes a noogie-in and a wedgie he'd never forget."
"Give me back my cows," demanded Apollo.
"I don't have any cows," said Hermes with a smile.
"Then who did take them?" demanded Apollo.
"I've never seen the person who stole them," said Hermes cleverly. But Apollo was clever too.
"What, because you have never looked in a mirror?"
"Well, the cave doesn't have a mirror," conceded Celine.
"But how could I, a baby, steal 50 cows?" said Hermes.
Apollo glowered at Hermes. He knew Hermes was no ordinary 6-day-old baby. 6-day-old babies didn't usually get in metaphysical debates either.
"It is true," said Celine. "He's been busy here in the cave all day long, fashioning a musical instrument out of a tortoise shell to amuse himself. Go on, Hermes, show him."
Hermes produced the instrument. He had stretched an animal skin over a tortoise shell, inserted two long bones to make the neck of the instrument, more shorter bones as cross struts. Then he had strung the struts with gut. It was a lot like our modern banjo, except that the word banjo hadn't been invented yet, so the ancient Greeks called it a lyre.
Very impressive, said Apollo.
Which is why it took all day to make, said Hermes, so I didn't have time to steal 50 cows.
Indeed, said Apollo, I believe that you did spend all day making this. But my cattle were not stolen in the day. At dawn they were already gone. They were stolen in the night. What were you doing last night?
Hermes did not look so smug now.
And I also want to know, continued Apollo, where did you get the skin that you have stretched across this tortoise shell, the bones you used as struts, and the gut you have stretched as strings for this lyre?
Said Hermes. Being 6 days old, he wasn't fully accomplished as an adult at lying yet.
I think that this instrument used to be one of my cows, said Apollo.
He did have steak for breakfast today, said Selene.
But Hermes, you told me it was from a door-to-door steak salesman.
You are a wicked thief and a liar, accused Apollo.
Dear brother, why are you so angry with me? We're family, said Hermes.
You shall soon learn that no one in our family ever gets along, said Apollo. You are a liar, as in someone who tells lies. So I'm going to turn you into a liar, as in a liar the musical instrument, said Apollo,
thinking he was very clever to have come up with that wordplay on the moment. He reached to grab Hermes, but instead of running away, Hermes plucked the strings of his lyre slash banjo, and a beautiful chord rang out. Apollo froze. It was such a beautiful sound, he forgot his anger. Hermes kept playing, and Apollo was mesmerized. It was the most wonderful music he had ever heard. It made his heart feel light, his skin tingle, and tears of happiness well in his eyes.
You mean, so it was almost as good as seeing me perform ballet? Asked Boris.
Yes, said Nanny Piggins, almost as good as that.
Give me the lyre, said Apollo,
trying to snatch it from his baby brother's hands,
and I will forgive you for stealing my cows.
But Hermes held the lyre slash banjo out of Apollo's reach.
Do I get to keep the other 48 cows? He bargained.
Yes, yes, whatever you want, so long as I can have that wondrous lyre, said Apollo.
Do you also promise to clean my bedroom every day and be my slave for life? Continued Hermes.
But then suddenly, boom, a great clap of thunder and a flash of lightning burst out as Zeus himself appeared.
Being the all-powerful king of the gods, he had heard the whole conversation.
Hermes, are you being a naughty boy? Demanded Zeus.
Nowhere near as naughty as you, father, said Hermes.
Stop provoking your brother, said Zeus. Give Apollo the lyre slash banjo and swear you will no longer steal from him.
Aw, Dad, said Hermes.
Don't make me count, said Zeus.
But I don't wanna, pouted Hermes.
One, said Zeus.
Aw, Dad.
Two, said Zeus. Aw, two and a half, said Zeus.
Okay, fine. I swear I won't steal anything else from Apollo, said Hermes reluctantly.
Now give him the instrument, Zeus ordered.
Fine, said Hermes,
handing over the lyre slash banjo.
Goody, cried Apollo,
and he ran off with the banjo and taught himself how to play. In fact, Apollo got so into music that he eventually went on to become the god of music and poetry. But back to the story.
Zeus glared at his son Hermes. You have too much time on your hands if you can cause such mischief, said Zeus. I shall have to give you a job.
But I'm only 6 days old, protested Hermes. You can't give me a job. That's child labour. Actually, it's worse. It's infant labour.
If you can steal 50 cows, then you can hold down a job, snapped Zeus. From this day forth, I decree that you, Hermes, shall be messenger to the gods. You shall carry all the messages back and forth between Mount Olympus and the humans down on Earth.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of work, said Hermes.
Good, said Zeus. If you're rushed off your feet, you won't have time to steal any more cows.
And it was so. From that day forth, Hermes was too busy to steal livestock, although he did manage to squeeze in plenty of mischief as he whizzed back and forth between the gods and humans.
And that is why, if you want a real Hermes bag, you won't pay thousands of dollars for a designer Birkin bag. You just need a messenger bag, which you can get for $50 from any department store, because Hermes was the messenger of the gods. The end. Time for bed.
It's too early for bed. We only just got home from school, said Derek.
Oh, so you did, said Nanny Piggins.
Oh, I can't bear to wait for your father to overcome his head injury. I'll tell you what, I'll sneak into his room and stick some cupcake in his ears. That way we can let off the rockets and you'll never realise what's going on.
I don't know, Nanny Piggins, said Michael. That seems like a waste of cupcakes.
Good point, said Nanny Piggins. We'll eat the cupcakes and I'll put Brussels sprouts in his ears.
We wouldn't want to waste good food. And that is what they did. The end.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that story. Oh, I had so much fun writing it. I did get a bit carried away in parts. I had to cut heaps out because I kept digressing. But I got obsessed with the whole banjo thing. And it's true. I don't know. Other people must have made the connection, but they describe it like Homer over 2,000 years ago was a poet. And he's the one that described this story originally. And what he described just sounded so much like a banjo that captured my imagination. So I was Googling, did Hermes invent the banjo? And I saw all these pictures of ancient Greek urns. So these like 2,000-year-old urns from 2,500-year-old urns from ancient Greece. And they have pictures of Hermes with this lyre that he made out of the tortoise shell. And it was a lot like a guitar or a banjo. So, and if it did have the skin stretched across it, I maintain Hermes totally invented the banjo. Anyway, I'm going to post a photo of that on my Instagram. And maybe I'll post it in the show notes. I don't know if that's possible, but I'll post it. So if you're as curious minded as I am, you can check it out there. What else do we need to talk about? I think that's it. Oh, the only other thing I was going to mention, just in case any of you are worried, I did finish the book I was working on. I finished it today's Tuesday, so I finished it on Sunday. So the Nanny Piggins origin story is now written, and so it's with the publishers. I've just literally, whilst I was recording that, it flashed up on my phone that the publisher, well, from the first sentence that I can read, she seems happy with it. So that is happening. So it's on track to be due for its deadline, so it'll come out in November, you know, in time for Christmas. So that's all good news. Okay, well, that's it for now. Until next time, goodbye.